What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Car accident. Lisa was not a car accident. That's dear Lord. That was the worst. I'm really intrigued to listen to the last episode as I edit it and just hear my adrenaline brain.
Uh-huh.
And how crazy it is.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it was the worst. But what was I going to say? I just don't understand. We do this thing. We're really, Christians are just really weird. We make children act out Bible stories. There's so much sexuality in Bible stories, and we make our children enact them. And I just feel very strange about that.
Okay.
It's not wrong. I just like, we treat the Bible like it's full of innocence, and it's rife with like murder and weird sex.
Okay.
And
have like I ever shown you? I have the Lego Bible.
What does that mean?
Oh my gosh. Is it? Oh, it's down.
Is it made of Legos?
No. So it's a book, but and it's like, it's written out like a cartoon, like a comic book.
Oh, like a graphic novel.
Uh-huh. But it's Legos acting out the different stories of the Bible. And but when I bought it, and it, I have the Old Testament.
I have so many complicated feelings about that. I'm not against it.
It's so funny. And I bought it. I was like, my kindergartners at church are going to love this. And then I was reading the reviews, and the reviews are parents who are like, but there's blood in this. And you're like, yeah, because there are a lot of wars in the Bible. Like, they're, like it's not designed for
they're kids. Early tribal people groups. They're all going to kill each other.
It's so funny. I haven't like read through the whole thing on each of them, but I've glanced through it. And it's funny. I've showed it to a couple months.
I definitely want to.
3, 4. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
It's Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Ooh, I don't even want to re-say it because you said it so beautifully.
But you have to re-say it.
Talk 30 Rock to Me.
There we go. I don't think the episode can actually start if we don't like say it in two different ways in the moment. Your phone screen makes me so sad.
I know. It's still broken. I keep being like, I'm going to fix it. And then I'm like, when?
But there are other things to do.
Well, because I have to get my car fixed now.
Yes,
because I'm just an idiot. I break everything. Look out, world.
If you show up, I'm not even going to say something, though, because I don't want that to happen. Never mind.
where was this going?
I want body parts to stay intact.
Oh, I'm whole at the moment, so that's fine. That's Amen. What matters. But my phone's seen rubber. One of the worst part, do you know how this happened? Did
no.
I tell you this?
I don't remember.
I was wearing overalls at Disneyland, and I put it in my front pocket, and then I bent over, and it fell out and went... It's like the stupidest
story.
There
are so many things I can say about that.
That's like the stupidest story. The worst part is my friend was like, you shouldn't keep your phone there. It's going to break. And I'm like, I know. I like grab it when I bend over. And then 10 minutes later,
oh,
I did it. And then I like tried to hide it from him for about an hour. And then he's like, what happened to your phone? And I was like, I put it in my front pocket. And then I broke it. And he was just like, I told you. It was
oh
so embarrassing.
My goodness.
Thanks, Griff. Appreciate it. You
I
were right.
It.
So.
Anyway, this is our first episode after recording at Comic-Con. But you guys won't hear that episode until next week, probably. Anyways,
we're oh my gosh, we had so much fun.
We had
prediction times. Stanley became a surprise guest on our podcast.
That's what I'm hoping.
He was so sweet and old. He just shows up and pretends to be Hugh Hefner like he does in the Iron Man movies.
Was it more than 100 degrees?
Oh, it says 109 for the weekend. So,
oh my,
it's Palm Springs. We're gonna
die. I know. I haven't looked at what the weather was going to
be. I'm gonna just be naked on stage because it's so hot.
Y'all, this is my cosplay.
But it's a podcast and no one will see. It's great.
Just the people in the room with us. And we were never invited anywhere again.
Damn it, Kimmy.
Except for the
nudism?
Nudist convention.
Ooh, live show at the nudist convention.
At the nudist? Is that your new place you're going to work
the
at?
The nudist. I know. Now I'm at the nerdist. I'm leaving for the nudist.
Yeah.
That's a good joke, Kelsey. Well done.
Thank you.
Other predictions. I drink a margarita.
Ooh, we can make that happen.
We can for sure make that happen. What else is going to happen? I'm going to try to make a joke with someone who's nerdy and they're going to look at me like I'm weird. That happens every time I'm at a Comic-Con.
I do that to you most of the time anyway.
It's normal. I'm trying to think of what else happens at Comic-Cons. I don't know. I see a Princess Leia.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. What's the costume we think we'll see the most?
Oh, it's always Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Slave Princess Leia. Come on, guys.
Do you think there's going to be old people at this convention?
Sometimes there are, yeah. What is your definition of old?
Well, because
sometimes in these settings,
I
like
say
40s
old because it's in Palm Springs.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's what I'm trying to think of. This is like all the 65 plus are like, yes, this is our convention. And they like pull out their like old school, like, I don't know, Indiana Jones or something.
Old slave Leias. Old lady slave Leias.
Aww.
Dude, like, take it, lady.
It.
Like, get it. So
I'm like the little the Harrison Fords next to them. And
I'm really into this. It's going to be a great. That's
like
weird.
They
can
be like
R2
detail in their wheelchairs.
Oh, that's super. That's so cute.
More
like
BB-8, I guess.
Yeah,
that'd be better.
It feels
BB-8.
A little more BB-8 because the circles.
Totally.
But still, this is going to be great. It's going to be a great Comic-Con. Thank you so much to everyone who came. We saw all of you there. We all hung out afterwards.
It was great.
We all cried at a bar together. It was beautiful.
Man,
so
I will never forget those moments.
That was magical. That was super. This weekend was magical. So
also in other news, which we talked about this months ago, just for the record, from the day we were recording this, my 10-year high school reunion is tonight.
Yeah,
so
you're gonna have so much fun.
Michelle and I are gonna be there. We played this game of, are you going? If you go, I'll go. And so we're like, well, I guess we're going. But I have a heart out at 8:30. So
why do you have a heart out at 8:30?
Because it's someone's birthday.
Oh,
so we were
got
like,
it.
Let's go do this.
All right.
Got a heart out. I mean, I'll be
quick.
To see
quick
my
reunion.
Friends. Yes, it'll be great. Anyways, so if you just are a little, the fun little housekeeping plugging corner sort of thing,
woo-hoo.
If you buy stuff on Amazon, we would love for you to use our link. Go to boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me. Click on support our artists. It'll take you on over to our, what is that called? Our Amazon portal, and you can buy stuff on there. Kimmy, did you buy anything this week?
Well, my air mattress never arrived. It got lost in transit, so they sent me a new one. I haven't actually checked. You should talk about you. I'm going to see if my air mattress is going to get here because I need somewhere for people to sleep when they stay with me.
Totally.
This is very important.
So what I bought this week, I bought two really, four exciting things that turned into two exciting things. The first exciting thing was that I bought a new hair wand because I lost my hair wand when I moved. And it's pink
deal.
And it's sitting on the counter and I'm super excited.
I saw that when I walked in.
I haven't used it yet. I'm super excited when you leave. I'm doing that. So, and then the other thing I bought, so there was this weird fluke that happened on Amazon yesterday where you could buy an Amazon Echo Dot and you put it in your cart for $50 and then it applied a credit or a promo and it was free. And so my coworkers and I all did that, and I did that for three of them, and then Amazon caught on to what happened. And so everybody else's orders were canceled except mine is out for delivery right now. Two of them were canceled. One of them's out for delivery. Maybe it'll show up while we're recording, and I'm super excited that somehow that works. So thanks, Amazon.
Alexa, thanks for the savings.
You're welcome.
Is that what she sounds like?
Maybe.
You don't know. You don't
no,
have one yet.
I know. I was trying to think what my friends sound like. It's a girl. Maybe you can, my Siri is a British man. I wonder if you can make Alexa have other accents.
I think you probably choose whatever you want.
I hope so.
In the self-service universe we live in.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
My air mattress was delivered on Thursday. I just haven't checked the mail.
So it's just downstairs.
It's just downstairs. Cool. If someone steals it, I'm on to you.
Right.
I know it's here.
Yeah, but maybe they need it. They need a new bed and they couldn't afford a real mattress.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, we have an Audible thing that if you go to audibletrial.com/talk30rock to me, you can buy an Amazon, an Audible book. And it's pretty sweet. I haven't listened to any Audible books this week. But I'm trying to think. Oh, I was just talking yesterday about Leah Remini's, what is her book called?
Is that how you say it? Not Leah Remini?
Yeah, Remini.
Oh, good to know.
Her book that, it's not Unbroken. It's something, she's talking about Scientology and it is so stinking
Tom
good.
Tom Cruise is crazy?
Yes, it talks about her wedding or his wedding with Katie Holmes and it's fantastic. Troublemaker
I
is what her book's
so
name
much.
Is. And it's so good. So everyone should go and buy and download that. And
even
talk to me
about
it.
Even though we're talking about it, Tom, just I need you to know how much I love you. And
did
I will see all of
you?
Your movies.
You're like, Tom,
Tom,
I miss you.
I just never want it to be understood that I don't love and adore Tom Cruise.
Fair
I love him. I'll see any movie he's in. The Mummy. I just haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I haven't seen The Mummy either.
But anyway, I know we're talking Scientology is crazy, but Tom, we love you.
Yeah. Good.
This podcast is a fan of you.
Yeah, we'll happily talk to you about
other
religious choices.
Stop trying to convert Tom Cruise.
Sorry. Be who you are, Tom. Be who you Tommy, you're fine.
Okay, Tommy, this is getting weird, Kelsey.
We're close. We're best friends.
You don't
know
what you're doing.
I don't. All right, we ready to talk about this?
I think we should talk some 30 Rock.
30.
So here's the thing. I was walking in today and I'm like, I know what we're going to talk about. We both are going to have done this. Kelsey, mm-hmm. you have not yet watched Tina Fey's. Now, this is coming out. It's been out for at least a week now, a little more than a week. The No, when this comes out, this video is going to have been out for a little more than a week.
Oh, yes.
But Tina Fey did an appearance on the Thursday Night Weekend Update. And it's amazing. And you haven't watched it. Why didn't you watch it yet?
I just got
distracted.
Did
you forget you have a podcast that's pretty much purely about Tina Fey?
All about it. Sometimes I get really weird when people are like, watch this. Like, and you
I
know
get
that's
that,
how I am.
But also,
I should have
also
this.
Every now and then that happens because you need to watch this. All right, we're going to pause because I just want to capture how you feel immediately after finishing this. So, yes.
Oh, and this is regards to Charlottesville is what.
Oh, it's her weekend update. Her weekend update. So stay tuned.
Pause.
Okay, Kelsey, you just watched Tina Fey's appearance on Weekend Update. And I want to say this before we get started. I don't think we're going to go into the nitty gritty of all the Charlottesville stuff. I don't think this is the time or place or the venue. And so come find us at Comic-Con and pick our brains. But because we have things to say that the world needs to hear.
Many thoughts.
No, but how did that make you feel? Because that made me feel things.
I love her.
She's so great.
I have a lot of feelings about Charlottesville that not everybody in my life agrees with, which is
I've noticed on Facebook.
yeah, which is disappointing. And yeah, so that's hard. So I appreciate there's something, somebody who can read your mind that doesn't even know you.
Something healing about, I think, what she did.
That is, she is articulate and funny. Because there's a way... There's a way to talk about this super serious issue that people need to be talking about. And I mean, that's SNL does that constantly where they're going to hit something hard, but they're going to find a way to make you not realize that you're being lectured because they're going to throw some jokes in with it. But they're jokes that will make some people very mad.
Oh, and the internet actually got really on all ends, got really mad at her after that. And I just want to be like, F them. I loved this. I don't want to say F them. That's strong. But I loved this. This really helped me.
Right.
So
she wasn't making fun of it. Like, because she knows it's serious. Like, it was a way to, because you're more likely to listen to something if you're laughing.
That's very true. So there's much more to be said about this. And there's a lot of pain and whatnot that I think is super valid.
I really want cake right now.
I know. Doesn't that make you want sheet cake?
It totally does.
Oh my
gosh.
Just that image of her stuffing her face. I think it's that moment where Michael Che is just like, give me some of that cake.
I know. That was just like, oh my heart.
She reaches over and grabs like, and then she just grabs some and just like throws it down on there.
And then the grilled cheese.
The grilled cheese. Mom, you're sounding crazy. And so that's when you get a grilled cheese and you dip it in the sheet cake.
The joke about Hillary Clinton's emails driving the car, and then about how that Trump would take down those statues if it meant he could put a new condo complex up there. Like, that was just
so accurate,
so on point and amazing. And I'll make sure we'll tweet out that link and it'll be in the description of the episode.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And and I would be surprised if most people probably have seen it. That went very viral, but watch it again. And I don't know. I just love the grace and the honesty and the truth she brings to that. While also, it's funny. I laughed. I don't know. I just felt better after. I think that was what that did, is it just made me feel like hopeful. I'm like, look at how many smart, cool people are out there who want the world to be better.
Right. The only thing that would have been a little bit, I think it would have been not, she was, I think it would have been, it probably would have gotten a more negative response from certain Republicans if she was dressed up as Sarah Palin when she did that.
Oh my gosh, too much. No, and I want to be the first to say that I come from a privileged experience where I'm able to feel better after watching like this, and I'm aware of that, but I just think there's something really valid to this video, and I appreciate what she has to say, and I appreciate the dialogue she creates. So even if you don't agree with how she's dealing with this, I feel like this is a good starting point for a conversation.
Right. You should have feelings of some point, whether it's feelings of, I guess, agreeing or disagreeing, or feelings of confusion. If you're confused, that means you should be talking to somebody.
Yeah. Let's all just talk. But
yeah.
But we should talk about 30 now.
And transitioning.
30 Rock. No, I just love this video. It makes me happy. I think she's such a gem. And Colin, I like that bit where Colin Jost is like, well, I don't say. Like when she's like, and they say, and you say.
He's like, I don't. Well, I am very quick. I mean, we can transition off this topic real quick here. Because there's the stereotype right now that all Christians feel a certain way about Donald Trump. And it's not the case. I think that there are some very vocal Christians that do. That's just kind of.
We're just breaking down stereotypes left and right over here. Talk 30 Rock, you heard it here first.
But there's that stereotype. And so I'm always very quickly, like one of my former band director posted something on Facebook last week and he was like, all right, all of you Christians, like you should be feeling this way about whatever. And he put Christians in quotation marks. And I told him that I appreciated those quotation marks. Because I appreciated that he knows that not all people that claim to be Christians feel the same way about this stuff. So
good for him. Yeah.
Anyway,
on to a lighter, sillier, less world important topic.
We're gonna pop this bubble.
God, Tina Fey. It's cool. Just fine. I'll just be here in the corner weeping about how brilliant she is.
Right. Oh man.
We talked about it at work for like 30 minutes. It was just like, she's so great.
I had a conversation at work this week, several this week, and not at work. And
everywhere on Facebook, yeah.
I'd rather be having the conversations than not.
That's fair. Okay, let's talk about 30 Rock.
All right. We are talking today about season 3, episode 10. No, 10 plus 5, 15.
15. Ooh, look at you doing math.
Real quick there. And this is The Bubble, which
the
is
bubble.
Why I made the joke about Tina popping the bubble, because this is called
The
Bubble.
Oh, I see. It was like a transition joke. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
I was trying.
I don't have notes, so you get to take the lead.
It's my turn. You've seen the episodes.
Orange.
You're fine.
I did. I watched them many. I've seen The Bubble many times.
Totally. So this air date was March 19th, 2009.
It's my sister's birthday.
I was thinking that is March 19th and August 19th. I have so many people with birthdays, which I think is really entertaining.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Yeah. Director was Trisha Brock, which this is her first 30 Rock episode. She does one more as director, and it's Mrs. Donaghy, which is a funny episode. Do you know what that episode is?
I don't know things by name as well.
Who was the second Mrs. Donaghy? The accidental Mrs. Donaghy.
Yes, that one. All right. I got there. Okay.
Oh, she does that episode in a couple seasons.
My husband. Oh, my God. That one's so good. Anyway, continue.
She also directed some episodes of Orange is the New Black, Girls, Silicon Valley, Walking Dead, Smash, Community, United States of Tara, Pushing Daisies, Gossip Girl, Breaking Bad, The L Word, Ugly Betty.
Damn, she's tearing it up.
Grey's Anatomy, and then the one other. Yeah, she's done a whole bunch.
TV directors are really interesting. Like, that's such an interesting career.
It is. I never realized before we really started doing this. I figured there were like 4 or 5 directors. Like, no, like it's just kind of a Mod Podge. Hey, you want to do this episode? Cool, come on in. I like it. And writer
it depends
was
on the series. But yeah,
fair enough. Writer was Tina Fey.
Yay. This episode's so good.
My recap is that Jenna is looking for a way to draw attention to herself.
What?
It's shocking. Tracy realizes he doesn't have to work. But that means that he loses Kenneth, and Liz decides to give Drew a dose of harsh reality.
Oh, Drew.
Poor Drew.
I love his pediatrician like clothing. I love how he wears these ties. Like, he looks like a pediatrician.
I love it.
They do a very good job building him out with his wardrobe. That's all. Also, he's so handsome in those dopey with that dopey tie.
I know he is.
The handsomeness.
We love Drew.
You know, the Disney execs, you watched me in my swim team to base Prince Eric. Which, does Prince Eric swim much?
No. Well, he does. He like dives into the water at the beginning. And then, or at the end, when one of the boats are on fire, he
okay. Then that's what they based it on. That's based on him,
like John Hamm. Just John.
Have you seen young photos of John Hamm?
Uh huh.
He's got that crop shirt on.
Mm-hmm. He's
the handsomeness at stake.
I love it. So okay, so the first storyline we can talk about is Jenna looking for ways to draw attention to herself. So Tracy's getting all of this attention, and so she wants to do something to bring the spotlight back to her because that makes her world a better place. So she decides that she is going to cut her hair.
Mm-hmm.
As that's what we all do when we want attention, I guess,
true.
On things. And so she is meeting with like her little group of people to talk about getting her hair.
Who's on
her
entourage again? Remind me.
I'm trying to find my list. I did write it down. There's somebody named Richard Esposito.
Oh, yeah. That's her, like, makeup guy.
Who is the makeup guy in real life for the show.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I love that they were like, just get in front of the camera, Richard Esposito.
Just pull him over. It's fine.
That voice.
Oh, right. Oh, but the scene. Sorry. This starts with, like, they're sitting in Am I confused? I mean,
I'm so sorry. I'm not here to help
especially
you.
Especially if you read. Oh, he's like. Oh, she's like, especially if you read page 6 of my publicist's emails.
Also, why does the publicist have 6 pages in her email?
Right. Also, unless you're printing the emails, you don't actually know what page it's on.
It's a great joke. Also, it's because it's a joke off page 6 of the New York Times, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right, I got that joke.
And Kenneth has the great line where he goes, "You look just how I picture Mary Magdalene." And then he ends up turning to Pete saying, "You're what I think Judas looks like."
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so good.
And then there's the line where she's like, "And Tracy's face is everywhere." And Liz goes, "Jenna, I already explained. That was a police sketch of a flasher who we happened to look like Tracy. We hope." And it gives you the magazine article of who wore it better, for Miss Piggy or Jenna.
Well, as we saw on the fun cooker, it might definitely be.
Yeah.
Tracy. Here comes the fun cooker. It could very much be Tracy.
Would you ever consider, is a flasher your butt?
No, I mean, the flasher is very classically.
The next step is.
But I'm just saying, we're not too far off.
Yeah.
It makes it very believable.
Yeah, yeah. That is a good point.
It looked like Tracy. We hope. That is such great comedic timing. Anyway.
The we hope at the end is good. So she's talking about how, a woman's hair is her crowning glory, which I feel like I've heard that in something else, and I don't remember what it was. But that line seems. So then she's like, say words to describe me. Fading, 80s, 1880s. And she's so
happy. Who says
happy,
1880s?
Frank.
That's it. Yeah.
80s, 1880s.
Oh, that's such a good Frank joke, too. Also, she doesn't look 1880s.
No,
but whatever.
She doesn't.
Though she would actually look really good in an Edith Wharton like novel film.
Okay.
Have you ever read any Edith Wharton?
No, but I know. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Not many people don't actually, but like Age of Innocence, she kind of has the look that actually, I take it back. She would work really well in one of those, like kind of novel, is it like a film version of one of those?
Okay,
I've been meaning to watch. Gillian Anderson is in one of them, and I've been wanting to watch it. In House of Mirth.
House of Mirth.
This is a whole other trail. This just took me down, but I really want to watch Ruby Lily in House of Mirth. It's a great novel. Anyway, continue.
No. So then she is going on the Today Show or whatever to cut her hair. Oh my gosh. Okay. So she's explaining, you're donating your hair to Locks of Love. No, my hair is too processed. She's donating it to Merkins of Hope.
Merkins.
Do you know
of
what
hope.
That is?
No, but the word Merkin is a terrifying word.
It is, because, okay, Merkin is an artificial covering of hair for the pubic area.
No.
Isn't that gross?
No. So is that what her hair is getting used for?
So gross.
Oh my gosh. No, Jenna.
Yeah. So that's because if you see Meredith Vieira's face when she says that, it's, oh.
Oh my gosh. How did I not know that?
Yeah, I looked it up, unless I found some weird site that's, but that's what it said. And I went, that makes a lot of sense, actually, I think. And also, Jenna looks really cute with short hair, like when it comes down to it, because she
always has great short hair in the show,
right? So they cut Richard Esposito cuts like the first little chunk of hair out as Meredith is saying, well, what do you think about Tracy not coming back to TGS? And she's like, what? No, stop, cut my hair, we can fix this. Like
her
can't.
Like running around with clumps of it in her hands. It's so sad.
Oh man.
But Jenna's just sad.
Yeah. Have you ever cried from a haircut?
No, almost once, and then it ended up being a great haircut. I just had to grow.
Really?
I just had to get used to it.
Oh, I've cried once, and then I can't remember if I cried with the last time I got my haircut. I was upset for about 7 weeks about it.
I remember that one actually.
So
yeah, you were pretty frustrated, but it's hard to do your hair wrong though. You've got great hair.
That's what the lady said to me at the store too when I was upset, and I was like, I know. She's like, it looks good. I'm like, it looks good because my hair looks good, but it's not what I wanted. Like,
oh,
I was.
Boo.
I'm a hair snob.
That's fair. That's fair.
Normal now. It's
but
fine.
Her just like weird ploys, I don't know, at fame and attention. Just Jenna. I have nothing to say about this. If
just
nothing
Jenna.
New, she's just ridiculous in this episode.
And it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up, next storyline we talk about is Tracy. So. Jack is all excited that it's time to renegotiate the contract, and we've seen this before. Jack loves this.
He doesn't do very well with this one
doesn't.
Though. Like the last one, he was like the shark and he knew what he was doing. And this one, it was just like, what are you doing?
Because this
Donaghy?
Is about people this time. It's not Jack can do money. He can, but it's the people side of it that it's difficult for him. So they're having their little okay. So this is the BFF bracelets. So Jack and Tracy have bracelets say BFF on it.
Best friends forever, but that's not what it means.
That's not what it means. Have you thought about what that means?
No.
You haven't thought about it at all.
I can't. I'm not good with things like this. I don't do negative space with words well. Do you think you know what it means?
Well, so I looked it up to see what other people thought it meant. And the general consensus was that it stands for butt effing friends. So that's gross.
But that can't be what it is with them because, right?
I think it's like that thing. I can't remember what they call it when like two guys have slept with the same girl.
Oh.
I think that's what it's like.
Eskimo.
Yeah. Eskimo brothers, right? Is that what they call it? Gross.
It's such a gross term.
Yeah.
I regret even saying it on this podcast.
Yeah. Blah. That's a no judgment, but that's gross.
Yeah. The whole thing is gross. That's so funny though. They like share that together. We're BFFs.
That's what we got bracelets for. I've also heard that the last F stands for festival instead, which is a whole other gross thing too. But I just love that he's like, yeah, we don't need to worry about Tracy money because Tracy invested all of his money in a company that dismantles bank signs. They're doing very well.
I forgot that's been on the Washington Mutuals and
all that stuff. This is 09.
So great.
Such a great joke.
That's
I love
so
it.
Funny.
Oh my goodness.
So that I'm adding so little. I just keep telling me what happens and I'll be like, I remember that, and then I'm gonna laugh.
I
have stuff later in, but
So Tracy doesn't realize that you have so much money, so you don't need to work. And he's like, oh, you're right. Goodbye. And Grizz.com are like behind him, like, Jack, don't say it, don't say it. And he just legit didn't put it together that he doesn't need to work anymore. And
yeah,
so
I don't get it. I just don't get why. I guess the whole thing of like, doesn't he realize how much money he has? But I just don't get why Jack is so stupid.
Yeah, that
why is Jack so stupid? Whatever, it makes for the plot, it's fine. I'm not going to be that person, but it just bothers me.
We get another great though, like where Grizz is trying to .com is trying to explain like, well, he didn't get it because Tracy's a tactile kinesthetic learning style, and Jack's just .com, so help me God, like they hate how smart .com is, and it's so sad.
They put him down. Poor .com gets put down so much. It's really interesting, kind of like we don't get really specific character stuff all the time with Grizz and .com, but we do get a real feel for them, where .com is kind of this educated, almost a little bit of a know-it-all, but really speaks truth, well, and no one takes him seriously.
And we learn some stuff about Grizz in the next episode, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Which is so, I never caught that before, and I'm super excited to talk about that. And I wrote like, why does Jack hate .com? Although I was using my text to speak, and so it just like hate.com, like period.
Hey, what does that take you to? Let's not.
I don't.
See it.
Not right. Was that a Nazi joke?
No.
Oh, because you're. What does that take you to? Let's not see it.
No.
I legit thought that I was waiting for
you
to laugh.
Clever. I was just trying.
That
to
was
be
funny.
Like, I don't want to see that.
Because earlier Jack ends up saying like, "You need to be the smartest person in the room," you know, in a couple of like a while ago. He says that, and I poor .com.
We shouldn't put .com. .com has it down really, it has it really hard. So
yeah.
He's a wonderful person.
Yes, totally. Okay, so Tracy left, and he actually left his lizard, which was very surprising to me. Because
what's the lizard's name again? Terrence, Troy?
It's something, because we later, what is the, I don't remember what the lizard, you're going to ask Siri.
Siri, what is the name of Tracy Jordan? Oh no, I turned it off. Hold on. I hit the wrong button. Come on. See, I did the thing you told me to do, which
I'm
is
so proud of you.
Siri, what is the name of Tracy Jordan's lizard?
Here's what I found on the web for what is the name of Tracy My Jordan's lizard.
My Jordan's?
My Jordan.
Oh, I forgot his middle name is Ogbert. That's so great. I don't know. It doesn't tell me.
Oh.
Tracy Jordan, last name, Tracy Jordan family, my heritage. We'll get to it. It's like Terrence or
it's
something.
It's a person name.
Yeah, it's like a human
much,
name.
Yeah.
Not a lizard. What is a lizard name, though, really? Scaly?
Scaly.
I don't have a good one.
That's something like a six-year-old boy would name his lizard. Like, you know, it's a good name for a lizard.
Exactly.
Scaly. Okay, so we get, like, this popped up several, like, a year ago, I guess, when all the Cosby stuff popped up, that we get that horrifying line, I guess, that so they just,
oh, that Bill Cosby,
yes.
First of all, who is that guy? He's amazing.
Okay, yeah, so they're trying, so he's fine. Jack is still trying to figure out like, how do we get Tracy back. So he decides to call in somebody who can do a Cosby impression. so to be like, I'm your childhood whatever. And the guy comes in and he's, Tracy, I'm the guy with the sweaters and the jello and the thing.
Oh, that's Godfrey. Okay. I've seen this guy and stuff.
He looked familiar. I don't know what it was from. And Tracy.
He's Janitor Derek in Zoolander. Remember when they like go undercover and Owen Wilson's character is like an older Hispanic man. And Derek Zoolander is like an African-American man janitor. Right. Okay. That's Godfrey. I knew I'd seen this guy. I gotta see what else he's been in.
So he ends up yelling at Bill Cosby. Like, this is not the person you want to try and get Tracy to do something. But he ends up yelling, Bill Cosby, you got a lot of nerve getting on the phone with me after you did my Aunt Paulette, 1971, Cincinnati. He was she was the cocktail waitress with the droopy eye. Like, that
It's such a bummer. But it's because here's the thing, they make that joke because people in comedy knew for so long. Everyone knew. I'd even heard jokes about it. I remember. I just think no one took it very seriously. And honestly, without saying much, there are other comedians in the community that know about now that it hasn't broken. And it probably will at some point, and that'll be a shame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is a shame because people make dumb decisions, but all that to say, everyone knew, but like it just wasn't widely accepted or believed. So that's why this I think Tina Fey has been making Bill Cosby jokes for a long time.
That when all the Cosby stuff broke, that all of those popped up, they're like, oh, Tina Fey's known, like had all the lines from different things.
So she'd been fighting that one for a while, but yeah, it's just crazy to me. It's so heartbreaking. They don't show the Cosby Show anymore, which is, I get it.
It's such a bummer.
It's an incredible show.
Totally.
I always get those John Mulaney jokes. Have you heard that one where he's like, I'm not useful, but if you need someone who knows everything about the Cosby Show, which is so funny to me.
I like that.
Do you know everything about the Cosby Show?
Tracy has a funny as a heck line, though, that when he's still yelling at Bill Cosby, quote Bill Cosby, he goes Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable with your light ass kids. I just think it's really funny.
That is really funny.
And then there's a line that happens right after that, and I didn't write what the whole line is, but it references Billy Dee Williams. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I do know who Billy Dee Williams is. That's Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
It's because Jack does a really ridiculous Billy Dee Williams impression. It's Billy Dee Williams, just insane. But Billy Dee Williams is dope.
Yeah. Which isn't Donald Glover the new Lando Calrissian?
I know, it all comes full circle, doesn't it? Now we have so Donald excited. Glover, who was writing on 30 Rock at this point, is now the new Lando in the new movie, which has had so much drama.
Really?
Have you not heard all this stuff that's happening with this? Okay, let me take you on a journey
tell me.
No, basically, it's being directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Okay. Yes.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Those two people who did like the Lego movie, they did the 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street.
Okay.
Comedy directors. Amazing.
Yeah.
What else did they do? Now I want to know. Phil Lord. Let's see what I can get to. Yeah, here we go. What else did they do? They also do the Last Man on Earth show. They're incredible. So they were directing this film. See, now I'm just really curious what else they've made. Because I think they did a lot of TV as well. That's what it was. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That's what I first saw. And that is a highly underrated film. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is very funny. Anyway, so they got pulled on because they're great comedy directors. Come do the new Han Solo movie. They do great. And 21 and 22 Jump Street have great action sequences too. So obviously they can handle action. They can do this.
Totally.
So they're doing it. And they're literally about 3 weeks out from the end of production. And Lucasfilm fires them.
What?
Lucasfilm fired them. Just creative differences with Kathleen Kennedy, and particularly Irving Kershner, the writer.
That close to the end. So, like, won't the movie still have to have their name on it?
Yes, to an extent. How much? You don't know. Do they just get more money and less credit? Do they just get the credit but less money?
Interesting.
That's a whole thing that's probably happening right
that's
now.
That's crazy.
Ron Howard is now finishing it.
Oh.
They brought on Ron Howard. This is so fun. Can we just do a podcast where I get to tell you movie news?
Seriously.
This is fun for me.
That is...
It was this whole thing.
Dang.
And it was really split because basically the rumor, the word on the street, is that Phil Lord and Chris Miller use a very improvisational style.
Okay.
And they like to do a lot of like improv and doing that, but it was kind of would take, it would change, it would change the script.
Yeah, yeah.
That I want to, hey, it might not be Irving Kirshner. That's probably not the wrong name. Maybe it's the right name. I don't know. The author, who was someone who wrote, he wrote Empire Strikes Back. He wrote Help with Force Awakens.
Is he,
they
like,
didn't like it. He's like, he's old school Hollywood.
Well, is he like Amy Sherman-Palladino, where it's like, I'm writing exactly what you were saying.
It's a little bit of that. Okay. It's a little bit, he's old school Hollywood. Like the, I believe, now I got to look up his name. But I believe he's like in his late 80s and him and his son wrote this movie.
Oh, crazy.
And it's been a whole thing. So let me look it up to know. Let's do filmography, upcoming projects. I want to know this name now because I feel like an idiot. I'm not even seeing it here. Whatever. He's like old school Hollywood. He's a huge part of Star Wars. And so canon's really important. And the thing is, the Star Wars, this is a whole other conversation. But you know what? Liz Lemon would want to talk about this. So I'm going to talk about this.
Totally.
Star Wars canon used to function very differently. Where basically, because there's so many Star Wars novels and properties.
Yeah.
It used to be you would go to George Lucas. If you were able to get in the door and they were interested in working with you, you would pitch your idea. And George would be like, yeah, that stands. And it's canon. All of a sudden, it's canon.
Okay.
So the universe was sprawling. You know, it's so funny. We're so hard on George Lucas. I'm in this weird place where we're all really hard on George Lucas. But in the past couple of years, I've been thinking a lot about why we criticized him. And I've kind of gone back on a lot of it. I actually think there's a lot of validity to what he's done.
Okay.
The Star Wars prequels are not great movies.
No.
But they're interesting movies. And there's things happening there that are worth talking about. And I think particularly, I have other feelings on Force Awakens. We will not go into them here. All of this to say, the canon used to function very free. He had this kind of weird, like, build-it-together world of Star Wars that was this really
That just because he wasn't one who wrote it, he could be like, yeah, that's part of it.
He would say it's canon, but he didn't have a very strict, like, this is the way. He just knew how the whole world worked, and he let other people contribute to it very heavily.
Huh.
So all this canon was established, and then he sold Lucasfilm. Kathleen Kennedy's church, who's a very interesting woman who I have other feelings about, who, God bless her, she's this powerhouse in the industry, who I respect and has made some choices that I don't agree with, but whatever. Now the canon functions really differently, where they have very intensive control on Star Wars canon, and it's changing how the universe works.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily bad. It's just interesting to watch.
Yeah.
That's all.
Interesting.
That's how I feel about all of this.
So do you think, like,
I find this more interesting. The bubble's great, and we're going to get into it, but I find this more interesting.
No, that's super interesting. So, bringing Ron Howard in, do you think there was a meeting that was like, look, like, you're taking this over?
Ron Howard's a more classical style director. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time, so he's going to go probably much more the script, and they're going to fix some things and change some stuff that was being done.
Yeah.
I also heard some stuff about, like, acting choices with, oh man, my brain is broken. I don't know anyone's name. Like, acting choices that are being made, and they wanted Ron to work with him. I think Ron's more of an actor's director.
Ron
was an actor.
Right. He's got some
experience. And this is
nothing.
I'm a huge Phil Lord and Chris Miller fans. I think 22 Jump Street is one of the best sequels I've ever seen.
Okay.
I think Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is one of the funniest cartoons. It's the most warm-hearted. It's Bill Hader, and it's Anna.
Isn't it Reese?
It's Anna. What's her face? I don't know anyone's name.
Oh, Anna Faris.
Anna Faris. Why is everyone's name slipping my brain?
It's
Anna Faris, and it's incredible. And then the Lego Movie stands for itself. It's a beautiful movie. I did choose the word beautiful, and I stand by it. We got so far off.
It's fine.
Again, I just feel like, I hope everyone sees this as like an artistic movement of me channeling how Liz Lemon would feel about these things.
Oh, 100%.
So that's why we're talking about this. But that's, and I might be wrong, I'm not a Star Wars specialist. I just really am intrigued with how world building functions.
Yeah.
To quote that great line in La La Land, where he's like, I'm really into world building. funniest line in that movie. So I just find it very interesting. And this was a really dramatic thing. Like, it was that thing that everyone talked about. My friends, we talked about it for 2 days when Phil Lord and Chris Miller were let go from the Han Solo movie, which has Donald Glover. So this relates to 30 Rock.
Came right back around.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that's what happened.
I like that. That's crazy.
Did you feel like you learned?
I know. I totally did. That's interesting.
All right. Well, hey, let's get on to this.
No, that was great.
that was great.
I can't remember where we were at now. We were talking about Lando Calrissian.
It's the Tracy Morgan storyline.
Thank you very much.
Tracy Jordan storyline.
Yes.
Damn it.
So Tracy decides that he doesn't need to work anymore, and so he turns his living room into a studio.
Fat neck girl, let me count your neck rings. I'm thirsty.
I'm sharp. Do it again.
I wish. That was sharp. Oh my gosh, he's so funny.
Oh, it's just such a great line. So I love, though, when Tracy Jordan's kids show up and they're like, are you trying to turn me into a stereotype? My father doesn't work now. Like, I just think it's, oh man, they just like
that
tell
kid
him.
Is so funny. I wonder what he's doing now. He was a Disney Channel star for so long.
Well, I looked, one of the kids doesn't do anything, and the other one,
He's the one that speaks more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does a couple of things, but they're only in like 6 episodes total or something like that.
They're not in a lot of episodes because, again, this kid was while he was doing this, I believe he was on Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I
wrote. He was like one of the friends on Hannah Montana.
I totally
Tracy Jr., I think.
Yeah,
is who
I
it
thought
is.
I wrote one of their names down.
I just had his IMDb up actually before I went on my Phil Lord rant, and I was trying to figure out what everyone's. Aldrin Ehrlich is what I was trying to say earlier.
Oh,
by the
there
way.
You go.
But he, that kid is. He was on Hannah Montana forever. He became a recurring character on it. I don't know why I know that.
You know,
I didn't watch
thing.
It when it was on.
So
I was young. Okay,
it's fine. It's fine. So we get some of these funny. So. They're like, okay, well, Tracy clearly needs to come back to work, but he doesn't need the money. And so we realize that Tracy is still relying on Kenneth for everything because Jack really quickly goes, how is he surviving without you? He's like, oh, I'm still doing stuff for him. And so Jack says, all right, well, you can't do that for him. And so the phone rings and this is Cranston because Kenneth doesn't want to say Kenneth.
And did you love the craziness of that?
Yes.
And that's so funny. Now they might have been doing that Dan Harmon-esque thing where forever they knew who they wanted because my mother's friend Ron,
yes.
Right, is like this running character. He's already been saying things about, well, he doesn't like Ron.
Yeah, well, and he makes a joke that he knows Tracy like the back of his stepfather Ron's hand.
But yeah. It's so funny. I wonder if they knew the entire time. I mean, I think we could say it right now that they wanted Bryan Cranston, who will officially
who will
be playing
up,
Ron.
Yeah.
So that joke is so funny that it says Cranston.
So great. Yeah, that not. Yeah, I don't. When would the Breaking Bad start?
Breaking Bad's on at this point.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
Because, yeah, I can't remember when Breaking Bad was
on. We're, like, not on our facts today.
No.
There's a lot of IMDb breaks.
But that's why I have the app downloaded.
That's fair. Me too. But I just really think that's a weird little thing. But maybe, again, Dan Harmon knew the entire time he was making, not 30 Rock, Community, that he really wanted, oh, my gosh. Who am I thinking of? Why am I not?
LeVar Burton.
No, he didn't want LeVar Burton. Who was going to play Jeff's dad? Bill Murray. I got there.
But that didn't happen.
No, because he wasn't on the show when they brought in the dad.
Yeah. But that was.
But that's
plan.
What he was going to do for the entire time, and that was when Bill Murray used to have that number you could call.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so because Ron doesn't show up until 2012 on 30 Rock, and then Breaking Bad.
Let me guess. Can I guess when that came out?
Yeah,
I think it was 2009.
Is that wait?
Damn it, but I was so close.
You were very close. yeah, so he comes in at the end
of the show.
And this episode was 09. So he comes in three. Yeah, so maybe they did know.
Maybe they knew what they wanted, you know?
Oh, I forgot that. He shows up on How I Met Your Mother for 3 episodes in the midst of Breaking Bad. I forgot about that.
Because he was the boss.
He was the architect. Yeah,
yeah.
The Hammond Brothers.
I just feel like we should be talking much more about his work on Malcolm in the Middle. And we never talk about his work on Malcolm.
We did when we
Had Scott.
Yes,
you're right.
Because
this is my bone to pick with the world. Is why are we talking about Breaking Bad when his Malcolm in the Middle work was just as impressive in my mind?
I think. Yeah, I don't know.
Kelsey does
because
not have anything to add.
Because see, I think it's you naturally talk about the person's movie show when they're the lead, and not like Malcolm was the lead of that show. You know what I mean? Like.
And where is Frankie Muniz now?
Yeah, I don't even know what he's up to.
No one does. I think he's doing race cars somewhere.
Oh. Wasn't that a movie he was in?
Yeah, I think that's where it started.
Oh, how funny.
And he dated Hilary Duff. That's all I know.
Good Lord. Okay, we are taking
We're
a long
having
time
a day.
This. We are.
Let's wrap this
it's
one
a
up.
Lazy Saturday. So, Tracy, so Cranston, where's Cranston? And Tracy is just so sad because he can't get a hold of Kenneth and he's not here, but I'm sure wherever he is, he loves you very much.
Oh my God, the relationship's so unhealthy.
Right? Who's
but
in
so
charge
beautiful.
Of my thirst? Cranston, why are you crying? Like it's just
that shot. I know, not seeing him. Just Cranston, why are you crying? It's so funny.
Oh, it's just. Oh my goodness! And then finally, Tracy shows up, and he's like, "Where's Ken? Or didn't you get my message?" He's like, "Yes, I got them." And Tracy like grabs the flowers and the tissues and starts walking away, and he can't do it. And I guess I'm only farm strong and not heart strong, Mr. Donaghy. I wrote poor Kay. Tracy loves Kay.
Yes.
Oh, it's just it's so sad, but I'm glad.
But then Tracy ends up staying.
Yes.
So that's it all wins.
That it all comes back to normal.
He stays because Kenneth otherwise would lose his job.
That is true. Yeah, that's what the okay, like they really do like each other like that.
Oh, he cares about Ken. He's super. That's what's fun about Tracy. He's super selfish and ridiculous. And when he says things like, all I wanted was a diet slice and pita chips, which makes me want to punch him in the face. But he does have these really beautiful moments where he's really selfless and lovely.
Totally.
So get a tray.
I love it.
Let's talk about Liz Lemon.
About the bubble.
Let's talk about the bubble.
Okay. Sorry. Hiccup. It popping the bubble there. So, okay, because the episode starts with, Tracy's cutting out pictures of pregnancy magazines. There's that whole thing that happens. Liz's like, I'm going to duck uptown and have lunch with my boyfriend. Is that code for some kind of older gal medical procedure? No. And I love that she just like had the picture of Drew ready to go.
And it's like a very, it's like an official, it's clearly like a still from one of the filmings.
Yeah.
Of him. Like it's this weird like side shot. Like who does that? Who has like
was that the same picture from when she first meets Drew and she's like, how'd you get that picture? Like I told him I wanted to show it to my hairstylist.
Yeah. Is it the same picture? That must be it.
And maybe it was her screensaver on her phone. So that's why.
That's so funny. I forget that line. I wanted to show it to my hairstylist.
Yeah. Like, ugh, so gross. So then they're walking around town and I wrote like, they're walking around town and everybody is stopping them. You should be a model. Calvin Klein stops them. Like they've been dating now. This is now, what did I say this was? Middle of March, end of March almost. They've been dating since at least Valentine's Day. Like, is this the first time they've walked out in public together? Like, why has she never noticed all of these people fawning over him? I just thought it was kind of weird. But mm-hmm. So then we get the Jack showing her a picture of him when he was 25. Isn't this the line where she says, may the doctor see you now? No, that's not. I don't know what that's from. For some reason, I keep having that line in my head when I think about this.
No, I know that she, because she says something else like, ooh, the lady will have more. Yes. Like the way she talks about him is like, so hubba, hubba. Funny.
Like a, yeah. So
this made me Google Alec Baldwin at 25.
I did too. The AV Club article has a picture of him. I don't know that he's 25, but a young picture of him in it. But yeah, so Jack is explaining like, well, yeah, cause when you're that pretty, like you live in the bubble and everybody will do things for you.
I love how willing he's able to make fun of the fact that he doesn't look like the way he used to. Yeah. He was the most handsome man on earth for a while.
So
he's also the handsome. Terrible. I forget that he's the terrible boyfriend in Working Girl and it makes me very happy.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Working Girl is wonderful. Everyone should watch Working Girl.
Okay.
It's a Mike Nichols film and it has Harrison Ford and it's great.
Okay.
It also has a ridiculous shot of a woman vacuuming in her underwear. And I'm like, no woman does that. But it's very funny to me. It's like very complicated lingerie too. And I was like, girl, really? But it's trying to sell this like you can have it all thing. That's very funny to me.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, so Alec Baldwin, you can see him if you want to see Alec Baldwin at 25, watch Working Girl. He's there her sleazy Staten Island boyfriend.
Gross.
So funny.
So Liz and Drew are going about, they're going on a date and like she's ordering things that aren't actually on the menu. But she's suddenly like,
I love the way she covers his face.
Oh,
why
yeah,
did she
yeah.
call you sweetie?
Well, so that's not yet. So first she's going through and she's all these people. She's let's play tennis. Like, oh, I was a pro in college or whatever the heck he ends up saying. Like, oh, it's been a while. What are you talking about?
And
someone's asking him for tennis lessons and all of this stuff. And
he does look good in that tennis outfit.
He does. And then you see them like they like come out of like having sex and she's like clearly disappointed. And
he looks so weird in that shot. Like I'm just like, oh, I don't know.
The whole thing is just so, because all I kept thinking was like, this isn't your first date. Like we know from, was it the last episode or two episodes ago that she has had sex with him at least two other times. We've learned this. So why are you now disappointed?
Maybe she's coming down from the bubble. Like she's in it. She's
maybe
finally
that's
stepped
what it
in.
She's past the honeymoon phase and now it's
exactly.
The bubble's popping. That, okay. Mm-hmm. That I can get.
I know. I look, I get that too. And also like the dopiness, like there was no hints of it beforehand. He is so sweet and reasonable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer. It's a bummer when you feel like a show. This is just a writing thing that's always bothering. When you're given something and they take it away and there was no hint of it. Like, I like when you can look back and be like, oh, they were building into this. And now it's a perspective thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just easier when you're, like, deciding later what you want to do with the character to be like, oh, actually, like, the bubble makes sense. I just wish there had been hints of it before.
Totally. Agree.
But it is very funny watching her discover this slowly and surely. And there's that incredible scene where they're playing tennis and she's like, I'm not going to go easy on you. And they play it and he's terrible.
Uh-huh.
Where he was just like, this is dumb. You're a bitch. And like, the way he says that word and the look on her face, the lack of music. I really love that they let that word. It's not a funny moment. It's really painful.
Yeah, he calls her a lying bitch. And you're like, ooh.
It's just like really, it's just like a really, her and Amy Poehler are doing the same thing where they really work with that word a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, also fun fact, apparently season 3, episode 15 of Parks and Rec is called The Bubble.
Oh, you read your IMDb facts.
I did. I did it like 5 minutes ago.
I'm like, you're stealing my things.
While we were recording, I read it.
I had that written at the bottom of my notes from a week and a half ago.
Well, for the record.
I did love the when you're going through all the things where you're seeing, I keep saying Floyd, Drew in this new light, like he cooked and he like used orange Gatorade as like the base of something, which that is kind of sort of an NBC brand joke, because in The Office when Aaron or Kimmy Schmidt, what's her real name, Ellie Kemper,
yes,
when Ellie Kemper's character is
I can't
Florida,
remember anyone's name, Saturdays my brain has stopped working,
when she's like living with the old lady in the office, she makes her something with blue Gatorade too. Oh, she makes her tea, but it's just, she just boiled blue Gatorade.
Oh, gross.
I was like, oh, NBC brand joke, kind of sort of. And then okay, this
is using Gatorade.
So when she's eating dinner with Drew and she chokes and he's like, you just got to shake it loose, and he's like shaking her and wants to shove it down,
she chokes so much on
okay,
the show.
So she resorts back to what she had to do in episode 2 when she didn't have a boyfriend, when she was struggling with I'm single.
Oh, interesting.
She resorts back to what she did when she didn't have a boyfriend.
I really like that. It's, well, first of all, as a doctor, you should know how to help someone who's choking.
Totally.
But it's this really lovely thing of
also,
like,
also, even
being
if you're not a doctor, you should know how
to
help somebody when they're just
saying. It's also true. I probably couldn't do the Heimlich maneuver. I think I don't know. That's another thing. All that to say is, you're right. That's a lovely point of saying it's not about being single. It's about being in the right relationship.
Yes.
Because being in the wrong relationship can be just as lonely and difficult, which is what she's experiencing.
Totally. Yeah. So then she like has this moment and she's, she talks to Drew like, your life isn't real, sort of. And he's like, what? I want to be real. So then they go back through doing all the same stuff, and it's heartbreaking for Drew that he's getting beat at tennis. If he gets called a liar, he wants to order something off the menu, and instead Liz orders it. He's like, why didn't she call you sweetheart? And
do we ever see them kiss?
I'm asking
this because I was watching.
She likes making out with him in the cab, though. So apparently he's good at that.
Oh, apparently. But this is the thing. This is why I'm saying this. While we're talking about that, I'm thinking about a future boyfriend who I won't say who it is, but it's mm-hmm. a pretty famous actor. And we were laughing as we've been watching it at work because they have no chemistry. But I actually think her and Drew have chemistry. Like mm-hmm. Tina Fey and John Hamm have pretty solid
chemistry. Totally.
And it's fun to watch them. Like I kind of am like, I weirdly get this relationship, even though with the bubble it doesn't work. But before mm-hmm. that, I was like into this and it made sense. And it was really funny to think that she actually has a lot of solid chemistry with John Hamm when she didn't with this other famous actor who will be coming soon. So sorry to interrupt you. I was just
I remember thinking the same. I was trying to figure out like, oh, have they just never? But she even in this episode, because when Jack was like, well, did you tell him that he was bad at this? And she's like, no, because I went to make out with him in the cab. Like, so clearly he's okay at some things.
Yeah, he's got his moments. We all love Drew.
Oh, man. But so it just ends with, yeah, they're angry. And, he shows up. He shows up on the motorcycle or whatever.
I love
the
last
end, right?
thing of him in that leather jacket. Mm-hmm. And that
Sir, you are
hair.
Pulling that look off.
I know. Isn't it Ralph Lauren who says something to him? Calvin Klein,
yeah.
There we go. I was like, which one is the one that Rachel didn't work
yeah,
for?
Yeah, right.
on Friends.
And then it's like, I didn't like it outside the bubble. It was very ironic. No, it wasn't. I want to be able to say these, like... Oh, gosh.
And then John Hamm is so good because he looks so cool. And then him riding off terribly.
Yes.
Like, terribly yes. into the sunset on that motorcycle. But I just love that they're like, put a leather jacket on him.
Right.
Make this really sting.
You could have put a leather jacket on him or just taken off his shirt and he would have looked just good.
Him just standing on New York Street like as the shirtless cowboy style. just like, I mean, I'm fine with it. I love John Hamm. Oh, he's so good on this. But it's sad to see him break up. But good for Liz, right? Liz knows she wants something more.
And she deserves something
more.
There's one more like NBC brand joke on this too. The joke about them knowing how to speak French, both Jack and Drew,
and
is like Joey. Yeah, yeah. Where Phoebe really knows how to speak French, yeah. But Joey goes blah, blah. Like I was like, oh, NBC
French. Fond.
Yes,
I know. When Jack speaks French, it's very funny.
Oh, I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Oh, the only other thing about this is I think we do have a Frank hat. I saw it earlier.
I just failed you so hard this week.
No, it's okay.
Then again, I definitely was able to explain Star Wars, so I brought something to the table.
You did. You had your moment.
It says drapes?
Drapes.
Yep. What does that mean?
Maybe he's really into home decor now.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Do you have any favorite lines from this episode? I know you don't have your notes, but do you have any favorite lines?
I think I just loved fat neck girl. Let me count your neck rings. There's something about everything Tracy sings I find very funny.
Fair enough.
I would listen to his musical comedy album.
Totally.
Tracy Jordan, we have an idea for you.
Let's do this.
Jeff Richmond, Tracy Jordan, together at last.
What we've all been waiting for. Mm-hmm. I think I love the Mary Magdalene Judas joke. I thought that was just so funny. You look just how I picture Mary Magdalene. I think that was such a great line.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Heathcliff Huxtable line about the mm-hmm. the light kids was really fun. Oh, but the full line of what Tracy Jordan's son says, like, thanks to you, I now have an unemployed father. You trying to make a stereotype out of me? Did you even vote for Obama? Which, no, Jack wouldn't have. But, I love it. I love this episode. I think it's a good one.
If they made this episode now, do you think Tracy would have voted? I think Tracy, they usually do a lot of Kanye Tracy stuff similar.
Yeah.
I think that was actually where they ended up pulling a lot of the later Tracy stuff. I wonder how they would have had Tracy respond to Trump. I know we keep talking about like NBC's bringing all this stuff back. I have a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah.
I actually really would love more 30 Rock purely because we talked about in the season one, there's that article about how healing 30 Rock is. And mm-hmm. I really very strongly feel that way, and I think I would love to see how 30 Rock deals with right now.
Yeah, well, that's I've been rewatching The West Wing.
Oh, that almost hurts more because I'm like, why aren't we like this? Why isn't
where
the
is Bartlett when we need him?
Oh, it's just a reminder of what it could be, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it's fine. Whatever. Moving on.
It's fine.
But that's this episode. We talked about the bubble.
Woo! Not. It's not like you said the Bible. I'm like, well, I guess you kind
of. We talked about that a bit too, so it's fine.
Yeah, I think that does it for the bubble. Kimberly Lucas, where can people find you?
You can find me at Kimchi Lucas everywhere. Also, please come to Nerd Melt September 12th, Tuesday, September 12th at 9 p.m. The show I'm producing is going to be there. It's going to be great. Zach Sherwin is hosting it. We've got a lot of other fun things, people lined up working on right now. Come to that show. It's going to be great. Say hi. I don't know. Come, please. I'm going to just start crying and begging now. Just come. It's going to be super fun.
That is the way to get people to come.
I produce another podcast on the side every now and then when their main producer can't be there. It's called Group Text with Aaron Melissa. Check it out. But they actually have a new podcast called Oh Dear God that's really dope too. Actually really check it out. But all that to say is they do this really great thing where basically they are promising to pay people on Venmo for giving their show reviews. So I will give you $1 if you review us. Just at me on
leave a review and then send us an email.
Send us an email or a tweet at me. I'll pay you $1.
Yeah, because we can't always tell who you are.
I'm not against bribery and pandering. It's not bribery, it's paying.
I like it. That's true.
I actually just find it very funny that she does that.
We also might, we'll see. We have some stickers that we're using for Comic-Con. If we have any leftovers.
Oh, yeah, we can send you a sticker.
We can send you a sticker, assuming you don't live overseas because that's going to be more expensive. But
let's do that. I'm going to take the dollar thing back and I'm going to say write a review and then email or tweet at us and we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah.
Do it. They're really cool stickers.
They're really cute. And we run out, we'll buy more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
You?
Me. You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde. You can find our podcast places at Talk 30 Rock to Me or
you've
Talk.
You've been using a handle since we were 12. And I know. I just realized
My very first handle that I did for Redheaded Blonde was on AIM.
I remember your AIM.
But I spelled it wrong and it was READ Headed Blonde, which I thought was funny too because I like to read. And then I changed it when I got
I actually totally remember that.
Yeah, it was great. So yeah, Redheaded Blonde. I'm all about consistency, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. So Redheaded Blonde, you can find our podcast, Talk 30 Rock to Me, talk30rockme@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Leave us reviews. Yeah, I like that. If you leave us a review and
you ask for us for one, we'll send you a sticker.
We'll totally send you a sticker. If you have previously left us a review and you're like, I want to
wear lipstick. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that.
We'll have like cheese covered lips. And that's so gross. Let us know because we can't figure out who you are by your posting there, but post it, tell us who you are, and then we'll happily send you stuff. I think that does it for this week's episode.
We did it!
Woo! All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.